This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The best bits of Joy Drive with Em and Warren. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
We are going to unpack fat. Not literally. Literally, but we're going to.
That would be fun.
I don't even know how that would work, but you know who would be able to tell us? Dr. Evangeline Mancioris, who is the Program Director of Nutrition and Food Sciences and Accrediting Practicing Dietitian at the University of South Australia. Dr. Evangeline, welcome back to Joy Drive.
Hi, how are you guys?
We are very well, thank you. So we're talking fat this afternoon, particularly dietary fat. My big first question is, what is dietary fat?
Good question. Dietary fat is just the whole range of different fats that are in our food supply. So you can think about things like, your margarine, your butter and your oils. But then you can think about the fats that are in food like meat and milk and cheese and, breads and grains and cereals and all that sort of stuff. Most foods have fat in it. Some have a lot and some have a lot less.
Evangeline, let's talk about fat as an energy source in itself. How dense is it? Is it packed with energy?
It is. Look, if we looked at fat, protein, carbohydrate and looked at 1 gram of each of it, which is a fifth of a teaspoon, 1 gram of fat gives us 37 kilojoules, whilst 1 gram of protein or carbohydrates give us about 17. So it's almost double the density in energy. And the really interesting thing is, I've been in this field now for over 30 years. And in my early days, we used to talk about limiting the intake of fat people had because we were concerned that this would lead to, overweight and obesity. And in fact, the National Dietary Guidelines told us to reduce our intake of dietary fat. But once everyone started looking at the evidence and going, okay, so what does it do? They realized there wasn't any evidence to show that people that ate more fat actually gained more weight. So in 2013, if we look at the Australian Dietary Guidelines from there, they actually removed that recommendation. And now it just says you need to eat less saturated fat.
But before we get on to saturated fat, as we were talking, I'm thinking, well, there's a lot of energy in fat, isn't there? So the secret really would be to tap that energy to be able to use it in life.
Yeah, well, and we do. So when we are moving and walking just at, normal pace, not running marathons or doing special walking races, the energy source we mostly use in our body is fat, and that's at that slow, steady pace. If you pick up the pace, you start using more glucose from your blood supply. So most of the time you're using, mostly fat, a little bit of glucose. As you pick up the pace, you start to use more glucose.
I might be jumping ahead here, but obviously if fat has more kilojoules, more energy in it, like per gram, it means that you want to be – if you're going to be exercising and you're going to be, burning however many calories, you would eat less fat to equal those calories, right? So it's basically like everything in moderation, but it would take longer to burn the fat energy. This is so confusing. I'm literally just confused myself.
No, and it is really confusing because if you think about it logically, you'd go, well, if we drop the amount of dietary fat we're eating, surely we would lose weight.
Yeah.
But that's not what seems to be happening. So when this happened in the 80s and, 80s and 90s, overweight and obesity was about 25%. And there was this concern about how much fat people consume. And at the time, Australians were consuming roughly, maybe 33-35% of their energy as fat. And people said, oh, that's too much. Let's drop it. But as we dropped it, our weight didn't go down. And what happened was, the food industry started producing foods with lower fat, but what they did was they added extra sugar to the food to make it still taste good and to make it sellable. So, and when they looked at the evidence to look at groups of people that ate higher levels of fat in their diet, they in fact didn't weigh more. And one of the ones that we've been talking over the time is the Mediterranean diet.
Yes.
The typical Mediterranean diet's about 40% fat that they found in Crete. So it is really confusing, Em. It makes logic sense. Everyone says, I need to drop the fat I'm eating to lose weight. But what it probably reflects better is the type of food. And we've always talked about the quality of food in our sessions.
Yeah.
And if you're eating, you know, the chocolate bars, the lollies, the potato crisp, those ultra processed and processed foods that have added fat, salt and sugar, they seem to be the problematic things. So we need to consider the quality of the food rather than targeting just on fat.
Evangeline, can we go back to the saturated fat? And I mean, I love my cheese, I'll admit. Yeah. Yeah. And if I am eating a piece of meat, you know, the fatty part is the yummiest part, to be honest with you. And, you know, yeah. I love butter. All these things are saturated fats. Why is it so evil?
Yeah, look, and that's the interesting thing. So now the guidelines say eat less saturated fat. And as we've explored this in the research science, it's still a little bit controversial. So saturated fats, we call the different types of fats based on what their chemical structure looks like. And people don't need to worry about that so much. But it's how many double bonds are in the chemical structure. But it's not important.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, saturated fats are those that tend to be solid at room temperature. Okay, so that fat on your meat, the butter, lard, all those sorts of things. And even palm and coconut oil are saturated fats. People often think it's just animal products, but palm oil and coconut oil are also saturated fats. So what we know is these fats are generally linked to heart disease. So the more of these saturated fats you consume, it seemed like there was an increased risk of heart disease. But it's a little bit more complex. A couple of years ago, the National Heart Foundation actually looked at all the evidence and they changed what they recommended. And they said for people who don't have an increased risk of heart disease because they don't have high blood pressure or they don't have high cholesterol, there's no reason for them to consume low-fat dairy. So if you're healthy in that respect, you can consume normal fat dairy levels. So you don't need to get the low-fat cheese or the low-fat milk. But we're still trying to work out exactly which sorts of saturated fats are the problem.
Right.
Because whilst we say saturated fats, there's many within that group. So once again, the advice would be don't eat the processed and ultra-processed fatty foods. But having things like cheese and milk and, you know, eggs are going to be perfectly fine. Well, potentially fine. We're still trying to work it out.
And full-fat yogurt is okay as opposed to the reduced fat loaded with sugar.
That's right. That's right. Because if you replace it with sugar, then you're presenting, you know, other problems to the body.
We're chatting to Dr. Evangeline Mansioris, Program Director of Nutrition and Food Sciences at the University of South Australia, about dietary fat and whether it's good for anything. And we've established that it is.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's all about moderation. Now, this will be like music to Warren's ears because
so
we have chatted a lot about olive oil, and I know that's a fat. So what kind of fat is olive oil?
Yeah, so olive oil contains monounsaturated fats. So if we go back to that chemical structure, it only has one double bond in it. And there's not many sources of monounsaturated fats in our diet. It's in avocados, and of course it's in olive oil and olives, and it's also in some types of nuts, particularly almonds. And these are considered beneficial for reducing the risk of heart disease, particularly because the olive oil has a whole lot of other active bioactives in it that are both anti-inflammatory and antioxidants. And likewise with avocado, because you get a whole lot of other goodies in the avocado as well, it's a really healthy fat. And a lot of people are using it as a spread for sandwiches, which makes it an expensive margarine, but a very tasty margarine and a healthy one.
Evangeline, I was down at Mornington on the weekend and I went to a particular Italian deli there. And you know what? I'm not interested in tasting the wines anymore. I was tasting the olive oils. And I tell you what, you've got me addicted to it. There are so many different flavors, so many good ones. It is just, it's a real appreciation of it, isn't it?
It is. They're absolutely beautiful. We actually did a bit of olive oil tasting with the family as well on the weekend, and they were starting to appreciate the different taste and what goes well in, you know, with bread, what goes well in sweet cooking and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I think the thing to remember is to get the extra virgin olive oil because that is the one that's got most of those bioactives.
Right.
And I realise it's more expensive and, you know, and money's an issue for many of us at the moment. So if it's a problem, you know, reserve that extra virgin olive oil for the salads and the raw food application and use olive oil when you're cooking.
You know how there are those I Love New York t-shirts? I want to get you and Warren matching I Love Olive Oil t-shirts.
Well, you've got to go to Oakden for that, isn't it? Isn't that the Greek area in Melbourne?
Yeah.
Oakley.
Yeah.
Our executive producer, Con, is in the room and was very fast to tell us.
Dr. Evangeline, can we this is another serious question, because when we grew up in the 80s and the 90s, you know, our parents received the advertising that said you ought to be congratulated with a particular type of polyunsaturated margarine. Polyunsaturated was the thing. Everyone had it. I don't know if there's a correlation to this or not, but there's a lot of people, you know, with a lot of inflammation walking around. Could that be a cause and effect? And is polyunsaturated bad?
Yeah, look, polyunsaturated fats, and that's the third class of fats that we have in our diet. And polyunsaturated fats, if we go back to that chemical structure I was talking about, means they've got two or more double bonds in that chemical structure. Now, the funny thing about polyunsaturates is that we split them into two groups. Mm-hmm. One of them is called the omega-6 and the other is called the omega-3. And I'm sure everyone's heard of omega-3 fatty acids. The interesting thing is, whilst they're classified with the same name as a polyunsaturate, they act really differently in our body. And before I get to your question, is omega-3s actually have an anti-inflammatory effect and the omega-6 have a pro-inflammatory effect. And omega-3 fats, and most of the people would know them as what's in fish and in fish oil, and there aren't many other sources of it in our diet, are actually used to treat rheumatoid arthritis. So it's one of the early treatments they use for rheumatoid arthritis because it reduces the inflammation of joints and it reduces when people have to move on to the different sorts of medications to control their disease. Now, your question, Warren, about, you know, we heard a lot about omega-6 polyunsaturates mm-hmm. in the 70s and 80s. And it was sort of, I guess, coincidental why we started eating a lot of omega-6. So the research post-World War II showed that saturated fats were linked to heart disease. And so they were trying to reduce people's intake of saturated fat. And at the same time, there was a huge increase in production of seed oils, which are the omega-6 fats. And so there was an easy decision there. Let's swap the saturated fats out for the omega-6 fats. So people started eating a lot more of them. And what people noticed, and at about the same time, we discovered these inflammatory, anti-pro-inflammatory effects of both types of fats. So what the discussion in the scientific world has been is, what is the right ratio of these two fats to consume? If we look back about 150 years ago, we were consuming a 1-to-1 ratio of both omega-6 and omega-3. Currently in Australia, the ratio is probably 5-to-6-to-1. So we're having 5 times as much omega-6 as we are in omega-3. But in America, it's a much higher level because of the types of oils they use there. So it's a really complex story, and I don't know if I've confused you or the listeners, but at the end of the day, what they're saying is we need both of them, because this is the unique thing about the polyunsaturated fatty acids, is they're both essential. We can't make these ourselves in our body. We need them from our diet. And so we get them, and then we can convert them to longer chain fatty acids, which are the ones that are called EPA and DHA that are found in fish. So the advice is, look, probably the best thing is to eat normally and to use a monounsaturated fat as your main cooking oil. Which can be olive oil. If people can't afford olive oil, we talked about not using the extra virgin, but just the normal olive oil, or even something like canola oil or macadamia oil, monounsaturated fat. So any of those would be suitable. And that way you get that more even ratio of the omega-6 to the omega-3. Or, sorry, did I say canola oil? Canola oil is another one.
Great. I use macadamia oil to cook with.
Yep. So that's a monounsaturated fat as well.
Evangeline, before we let you go, I have a question, because, you know, we've spoken this afternoon about processed fats being, you know, processed foods rather, being the foods we want to avoid because they're the ones that are bad for us. Yeah. And then we've also spoken about the chemical structure of fats and that being, you know, how they interact with our bodies. So when we eat processed foods, are those fats somehow like chemically structured in a bad way?
No, it's more so the type of fat that the food industry would put into it.
Right.
So palm oil and coconut oil are relatively cheap. They're much cheaper than olive oil. We know that when we go to the supermarket. So it's the type of fat that they're using to make those fast foods that is problematic. It's not that it changes it. The only change is that it's not in its original food structure.
So can I just summarise for all of us? So if we wanted to do the right thing, we have extra virgin olive oil wherever we can.
I'm getting you those T-shirts.
And monounsaturated fats like avocado and macadamia oil, for example.
And canola oil also monounsaturated, yeah. Yep, absolutely. And just lastly, if I can just sneak in, fats are important for us as well as providing energy. They make vitamin D for us, which is important. Mm. We've heard a lot about vitamin D. And they also are converted into the sex hormones, so the estrogen, the progesterone, and the testosterone. So you do need it in your diet. It also makes food taste yummy. So that's probably the most important bit, I think.
One final really quick question. So what if you buy a particular brand of crisp chips in a packet that are cooked in avocado oil?
Yep.
You just want a gold star. You literally asked that question. So Dr. Evangeline would say, yes, Warren, you did a great job.
I want an excuse to buy them.
Look, there's some chips that are cooked in monounsaturated oils. So it's a matter of looking at the nutrition information panel and seeing how much mono and poly there are in different brands. So there's a particular oil that's used in food industry called, I think it's still called canola oil. It's a high oleic acid oil. And some of the chip companies are using those. And the problem is the more polyunsaturated a fat is, so the more double bonds it has in it, the smellier it gets. That's why fish is so smelly, is it's got those double bonds in there and a lot of them. And that's why fattier fish smell worse than, you know, like a salmon will smell worse than a King George whiting. It's that those omega-3 fats that contribute to that smell. And if you cook them, it makes the smell even worse.
Dr. Evangeline, always a pleasure. And Warren got two gold stars today. Very good for Warren. Right.
No, with their potato in, you get a gold star too.
We really appreciate it.
Con can put gold stars on your T-shirt.
We will do that. We are making it happen. Thank you so much for your time as always, Dr. Evangeline.
My pleasure. See you later. You.
That's Dr. Evangeline Mantzioris, Program Director of Nutrition and Food Sciences at the University of South Australia.
The best bits of Joy Drive with Em and Warren. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.